While sales are flat, more people are using bikes as transportation, and bicycle shares are popping up around the country. But whatever boom or boomlet is currently underway, it pales in comparison to the bike boom of the late 19th century. Central Illinois contributed more than its fair share to that boom. In the 1890s, two-thirds of all bikes and bike accessories were produced within a 150-mile radius of Chicago, which includes Bloomington and Peoria. Chris Sweet is a librarian and historian at Illinois Wesleyan University. He is researching bike history as part of a sabbatical. He's also a lifelong cyclist and triathlete. He tells Mike McCurdy, Central Illinois was well-positioned geographically with a strong manufacturing base to take advantage of the huge interest in cycling in those early days of the industry.
Proximity to the river, Illinois River, for barge shipping, and it was a railroad hub. There were plenty of lines going back and forth between Chicago, and during that time period, the railroad stretched from coast to coast, so it was easy to get the finished product out, and it was easy to get raw materials for producing the bikes in. So it was more just a simple geographic location that led to it.
Well, that makes sense for manufacturing, but why bikes? They could have been manufacturing tractor tires or tractor wheels.
From what I've seen, they really, the factories and the industries were quite nimble. They almost all evolved from something else. So if you look at a lot of these early manufacturers, and even the ones in Peoria and Chicago, some of them made sewing machines first and then moved into bikes. A lot of them made carriages. Some of them made agricultural implements. So they had the tooling, and they saw an opportunity, and they were able to turn around their factories much faster than anything that we have today. You know, they saw that bicycles were selling well. John Deere is an example of this. John Deere was, it seemed like, pretty happy, you know, doing good business with agricultural equipment. They saw that bikes were selling. They started putting their name on some made by other companies, and then for a couple years, they tried making their own.
And we're really talking about what's known as the safety bike, bikes with a frame pretty close to what we see on streets today, wheels of the same size or close, a chain ring, that kind of bicycle, right?
If we are, if we're talking about Central Illinois manufacturing, that's correct. There were Chicago manufacturers of the high wheel, the ordinary bike with the really big front wheel, really
also known
small
as a
second
penny farthing
high wheel. Those were made in Chicago. None of those were made in Central Illinois, although a company in Peoria sold, they were probably the largest wholesaler of other people's high wheel bikes. They were one of the big first mail order sort of companies.
What role did Illinois, or Central Illinois specifically, play in sort of phasing out the high wheel?
It phased out really quickly once once that safety bicycle started being manufactured first in England, and then over here in the States. That really killed the ordinary. So a more modern bicycle with relatively close same size wheels, very much easier to learn. It's safer to ride on one of those. So people picked it up really quickly. It didn't. The high wheels were famous for taking headers. So you're sitting up on top of let's say a 50-inch wheel, you're up above that, the weight can come forward very easily and take a header, so it was pretty dangerous. So there was a big boom as soon as those safeties started hitting the market.
And let's talk about that boom in the late 19th century. Can you describe the scope of this boom?
It's to people that really haven't heard about it or read much about it, cycling was the popular sport. This really predates the popularity of football and basketball. Baseball was big in America at that time, but in many places, cycling rivaled baseball, and more people did it. Pretty quickly, women started taking up cycling as one of the first sports that they really became involved in. Only a few raced, but many were in part of the clubhouses, and they had their own group rides. So there was that was a big part of the boom.
There was some concern about women riding, though. I mean, you see a lot of women in the advertising. I don't know if that was actually marketing designed toward women or just the age-old practice of using women in ads to try to sell products.
Oh, it was definitely both. But I think it's an interesting aspect of my research where traditional capitalism drove positive social change, right? So the bicycle companies, they just wanted to sell as many bikes as they could. And there was a huge market, you know, if they could sell to women, that's, you know, 50% more people that they could sell bikes to. So they did all kinds of creative marketing campaigns. They hired physicians to attest to the health benefits of cycling for women, because some physicians at the time said, no, this is dangerous. Women shouldn't be allowed to do it. It should be a male-only sport. But the bicycle companies, they wanted to sell bikes. They realized that there was a big market out there. They spent a lot of time reaching out to women.
I flipped through your presentation and read over your paper, and one of the things that seems to be missing is bikes for children.
Yeah, from the boom period, from this, we're talking 1890 to about 1900, and there was a big crash after that, there was not a children's market. They didn't see that as a market. Children themselves, by and large, during that time period, were not going to be able to afford bicycles. They were quite expensive. I suppose that's another. It was very much a middle and upper class pursuit. So a bicycle, a safety bicycle in the 1890s, around $100 for that time period.
Can you put that into today's dollars?
For a working class, you know, laborer, that at that time, they maybe would have made $200 over the course of a year. So it'd be about half of their salary. The bikes have gotten much cheaper over time, and then they've been. As that happened, other classes of people were able to access the bike, and a lot of people would say that's kind of what killed the bicycle.
The boom led to some bike clubs. Can you talk about some of the bike clubs in Bloomington and Peoria?
Right. So it was very much a social phenomenon. People wanted to participate in these often very elitist clubs. They also had fairly high monthly fees involved with them, and they had just elaborate clubhouses, particularly up in Chicago. A Chicago cycling clubhouse, and there were 50 clubs up there, but the bigger ones, they would have had a billiard room, they would have had a smoking room, they would have had their own library, they would have had their own gym, they had a coach on site at a lot of them. So they were really, you know, if you think about Gilded Age, they were just kind of exemplify the Gilded Age, conspicuous consumption, that sort of thing. So that also occurred in Central Illinois. People they wanted to ride together, you know, for safety and just to talk about each other's bikes. So
that hasn't changed.
That has not changed. it's very much the same, but the numbers have changed. Peoria's Bike Club was one of the earlier in the country, 1870s, early 1870s, I believe, and it got up to 400 members over there. So, I mean, it was much larger than it is today. Bloomington had a very early club as well. It was much, much smaller over here.
Do the first paved roads actually owe their existence to bicyclists, or is that a myth?
The paved roads are certainly partially related to cyclists. In the late 1800s, again in this boom period in the 1890s, there was a big national movement called the Good Roads Movement, and this was definitely started by cyclists. And the Good Roads Movement, they just wanted more paved roads that were maintained either by the government or by local farmers. So they really needed to work with the farmers to try to get them on board, because if you think of the rural roads, there was no government funding for roads. Farmers were expected to just maintain their own roads outside of their property, and you can imagine that was hit and miss, the same as you might encounter in people keeping their sidewalks up in town now. Some do a nice job of it, others let it go. So the cyclists, they were a significant political lobby at the time, so they banded together to vote as a block. And good roads was one of their most important issues.
Chris, thanks for your time today. And thanks for your time researching bicycling in Central Illinois.
Thank you.